Jesus said to the disciples, "Do you hear what I say? Love your enemies. Do you hear what I say? Be good to those who hate you. Do you hear what I say? Pray for those who mistreat you." Sisters and brothers, Jesus wasn't talking about those who can hear well and those who are hard of hearing. Jesus was inviting his disciples, and Jesus is inviting us at this liturgy today to hear his words through the ears of our hearts. And when it comes to mass violence and war, which we can define as intergroup lethal conflict, it's pretty hard for us to hear these words of Jesus in today's gospel, because for 1700 years plus, the Roman Catholic Church and most of the mainline Christian religions have absolutely ignored these words, "Love your enemy." I would like to introduce to you a person who heard these words with the ear of his heart, and he paid dearly for it. His name is Ben Salmon. He was born into a working class Catholic family in Denver, Colorado in 1889. In 1917, just as America was getting involved in World War I, and Ben was just recently married, he was drafted into the military. He applied for recognition as a conscientious objector on the basis of his religious convictions. Although the government at that time did make provisions for conscientious objectors from the historic peace churches, like the Quakers and the Mennonites, they immediately rejected Ben's request. And my guess is they rejected that request with some humor. Roman Catholic? Registering to be a conscientious objector? That's a riot. That's never happened before. Because for centuries, the Roman Catholic Church was following what was called the just war tradition, developed hundreds of years before by St. Ambrose and St. Augustine and tweaked by St. Thomas. But the heart of it comes from pagan Aristotelian philosophy and totally ignores the gospel of Jesus that we just heard proclaimed today. In fact, for 1700 years, the church has been embarrassed with this gospel. Ben Salmon refused to join the military. His conscience was telling him, based on his understanding of the gospel and the teachings of the very, very early church, in his heart, he knew that cooperation with any military system would represent a compromise with evil. And so in January 1918, Ben Salmon, of course, was arrested and given a military court-martial and sentenced to death, a sentence that eventually was reduced to 25 years in prison. Much of that time in prison was spent in solitary confinement. For 6 months, he was kept in a windowless, vermin-infested cell above the prison sewers. He was allowed no visitors, no mail, and was fed bread and water. In his continued protest of the evil of war, he became involved in hunger strikes and was eventually force-fed and actually was sent to St. Elizabeth's Hospital for the Insane in Washington, D.C. And shortly after the end of the war, he was released from prison. Now, although there was other resistors in America to war at that time, Ben Salmon was the only American contributing his resistance to war to his Roman Catholic faith. Ben's solitary Catholic resistance to war didn't go over very well with his fellow Catholics or his fellow citizens. Catholic prison chaplains told him that he was putting himself in opposition to the Pope. Some priests who visited him would not give him the sacraments or communion and accused him of being a heretic. And his hometown newspapers weren't much better. One newspaper had a headline that he was a slacker, a pacifist, the man with a yellow streak from up his spine as broad as a county highway. Although his pacifism contradicted the wisdom of most Catholic moral theologians at the time that was continuing to teach the just war tradition, Ben Salmon, with nothing but the Bible and the Catholic Encyclopedia, even in his weakened condition in prison, was able to write a 200-page critique of the just war teaching, justifying his commitment to nonviolence. He was arguing, just think back in 1919, he was arguing that in the modern era, it was no longer sensible to imagine a war that could satisfy the criteria of the just war. But in any case, he wrote that the just war tradition was impossible to square with the clear teachings of Jesus as contained in today's gospel, love your enemy. So there's Ben Salmon. Let's fast forward 102 years. On October 3rd, 2020, on the vigil of the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi, at the tomb of St. Francis, Pope Francis released his encyclical entitled On Fraternity and Friendship. And in paragraph 258 and following, Pope Francis writes that there is no justification for war, nor is it ever licit to present war as a, quote, just solution, as a preventative or defensive action, as if to elevate it to a plausible means of definitively settling disputes. And he said that faced with the possibility of causing massive suffering and death to entire populations, it is not permissible to appeal to the principle of the lesser evil. To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. Now, sisters and brothers, wow, what an about face. Ben Salmon is no longer a pariah. In fact, there's a movement to make him a saint in the Catholic Church. Wow, alleluia. Hope. 65 years ago, in Pachamon Terrace, Pope John XXIII began an official questioning of the just war tradition and openly pointing out the evil of war. At that time, Catholic theologians began to reflect on the evil of war in a very different way. And then Pope Paul VI, John Paul II, Benedict, as well as Francis, began to question in an official way the evil of war. And so today, the teachings of Jesus Christ in today's gospel are much closer to Catholic teaching than it has been for 1700 years. Also, what has sort of bubbled up is a new understanding of the teachings of the early church fathers and mothers for the first 300 years before Constantine and when Christianity became a civil religion. If you were to take your old Book of Saints and look up some of these early Christian fathers, it's never mentioned what they said about war. But I'll just give you a couple examples. Origen, who died in 254, wrote, "We Christians no longer take up the sword against nation, nor do we learn to make war anymore, having become children of peace, for the sake of Jesus, who is our healer." Justin, a Christian martyr, in 165 wrote, and just think of what's going on in Congo right now. And here's what Justin said. "We refrain from making war on our enemies. We who used to kill one another do not make war on our enemies. All of us throughout the earth have changed our instruments of war, our swords into plowshares, and spears into farming tools. And we cultivate justice and love for all humanity." Wow. In his autobiography, Hope, that Pope Francis released just in January, he makes a couple of very powerful points that are so pertinent for the moment we're experiencing. He said, "Immigration and war are two sides of the same coin. It has been said that the greatest producer of migrants is war. Humanity itself declaring war against a fairer distribution of resources, against nature itself, against our own planet." Our dear brothers and sisters from Congo would be in Congo if it wasn't for the evil of war. In another paragraph, Francis points out, and this is very, very timely, "The wars being fought today involve several regions of the world, but the weapons with which they are fought are produced in several different regions. And in those same regions that then refuse and turn away the refugees who have been generated by the weapons and by those conflicts." Wow. Where might there be hope? For 1,700 years in mainline Christianity, including our own Roman Catholic Church, the teachings of Jesus to love our enemy were embarrassments. And what developed was considered common sense in regards to violence and loving our enemy. It just wasn't practical. War and violence is justified as a necessity. But sisters and brothers, in the last 65 years plus, our Catholic Church, as well as many, many others throughout the world, are deepening an awareness that the myth that the security of militarism is a security, we're beginning to realize it's a false security. And if we just took some creativity, we could stop evil in nonviolent, creative ways. Not long ago, 70% of the brain power of scientists in the United States was being poured into the industrial military complex. 70%. Can you imagine if 10% of global knowledge was put into creatively developing nonviolent means to end conflict, what a different world it would be. And we have examples in Gandhi, in Martin Luther King, the end of apartheid in South Africa. 1% of the national budget goes into humanitarian foreign aid. And folks, what percent goes into military aid of our budget? 60%. So, what a different world it could be. And what a different world we're evolving into if we don't self-destruct in the process. And so, what might we do? I think Our prayer is to pray with the ear of our hearts to listen to the gospel message of Jesus, that it's not pie in the sky, but it's a way to save our world. To you who hear, I say, love your enemies. To you who hear, I say, be good to those who hate you. To you who say, to hear, I say, pray for those who hurt you. As we conclude African American Month this weekend here, it might be the last African American Month in our country. I don't know if there's an executive order out yet, but I'd like to just share these words of Martin Luther King we've heard before that are so pertinent for this moment of crisis and chaos in our nation. He said, "Truth, crushed to the earth, will rise again, because no lie can live forever. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet the scaffold sways the future, and behind the dim unknown stands God within the shadow, keeping watch over God's own. How long? Not long, because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends towards justice. Amen."